Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When people look back and say, hey, when things were the toughest, when things looked the worst, when we were at our lowest point, How did you handle it? How will you be remembered for how you handle it? And I'm looking for, you know, people to come out fighting and give their best, you know, in those kind of situations. That's what you have to do. When you do that, you come out the other end. I think fundamental football is the most quickly fixable thing. And I expect to see us play fundamentally sound football. You know, I don't think we did that all the time today. It wasn't egregiously bad, but I mean, this run defense is just, it's not okay, you know, and that's not something that should happen. So we haven't fixed that really all year yet. That's the number one thing that's got to start. We can't be letting them get the yards of getting on first down. You can't play behind the sticks the whole game on both sides of the ball. And that's been pretty much a theme throughout the course of the whole season so far.
That was John Harbaugh yesterday, and it was an embarrassing 44-10 loss to the Houston Texans. Harbs feels like things are fixed. Well, they did sign C.J. Gardner-Johnson today, who a very low financial move because he's had a guaranteed deal with the Texans who released him. And so for what that's worth, another safety in the fold. The Ravens will be back on the practice field tomorrow to get ready for the Rams. But one of the things we noticed watching that game Sunday is it looked like, especially at times, especially in the second half, there may have been some effort lacking. And that's something that, you know, Bohm pointed out in TMI yesterday. That has been a calling card for John Harbaugh throughout the years here, is that these guys, no matter what the don't even look at COVID. Look at the year where Lamar got hurt and they're playing like the Rams and the Packers here and almost beating both those teams with a shell of themselves.
Yeah, look, there's a lot of things under question. And not shock jock stuff, not hot take stuff. Like if you watch and rewatch these games, parts of these games, if you dig down, that there's some core fundamental characteristics of this team that are righteously in question that you just don't think of in terms of the Ravens football brand and the John Harbaugh coaching brand. And looking ill-prepared from the onset, getting physically and schematically and mentally and physically manhandled in the first quarter of games and the fourth quarter of games, like that stuff can happen. And it's happening on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. That sort of speaks to preparation, right? I mean, he's saying that he didn't think that game was egregiously bad. Your bell cow running back had 16 attempted touches for 33 yards, and one of those attempted touches resulted in an interception. Like, it's pretty, your offensive line can't do anything right. Bateman is basically an afterthought now because you even in the best of times before everybody got hurt, you weren't pushing the ball downfield. Your defense is broken at every level. Your special teams continue to succumb to brain farts and penalties, and you get outclassed in special teams with regularity. You got guys throwing helmets, almost hitting themselves in the head with helmets. Guys throwing tantrums on the sidelines. guys trying to pry ball down 34 points and you're worried about prying a ball out of some kid's hand after his first NFL touchdown. I'd say it's really, really like egregiously bad across the board. And I don't think it's easily fixable. And I don't think they're going to fix much of it. And guys getting healthy will help. But I don't know how you could watch these last, I mean, really all these games going back to the fourth quarter of Buffalo and say like the other team for large stretches of the game appeared to want it more. I mean, let's not forget, they were in a game with the Browns into the second half, and then Myles Garrett limps off and
they started getting loose
and Joe falls apart.
Giving the ball away.
But like, I don't think anybody was sitting there at halftime saying, oh yeah, this is a master class. Like, oh, this looks like the 2023 Ravens. This looks like the down the stretch 2024 Ravens. There's been a want to, need to, gotta have it factor that the other team has possessed that they haven't. It was a big game for the Texans too. They played like it. So really, the Chiefs needed to follow up that win in the Meadowlands by winning at home against the Ravens. They needed to do that. They did it. Now it turns out they couldn't follow that up in Jacksonville because they're not that good. But my God, did they look like world beaters against the Ravens. Like, that's where we are, folks. That's what it is. It really is that bad. And yes, I do think it's fair to wonder and question whose effort level, whose compete level is at the professional grade required and whose isn't.
It's just not often at all in any given season that you see the Ravens not as the most physical team on the football field. Maybe it happens once per year. The Browns have kind of punched him in the mouth each of the past 2 years, once per year, one of those two games. But to see it in succession, guys, going back from the Lions game, okay, well, you're going up against Kansas City. This is a team that's had your number. Like, you'll show up. Then the offense looked broken even before Lamar Jackson got hurt. Lamar didn't look right. You give up 37 points to a Chiefs offense that hadn't scored that in multiple years. But it's multiple years, 37 points.
Yeah.
But then you face the Texans, and given the situation of it was pretty much a must-win game this early on in the year. You're at home. You're going against a team that you have traditionally owned, a team that has never won in Baltimore before, going up against a quarterback that in three games prior hadn't scored a touchdown, and you let them walk down the field on the opening drive. That was the tone that was set in that football game, where you knew early on it was going to be a long day, and there just wasn't that type of fight and that type of want to, like you were saying, Jason, that you become accustomed to seeing with a John Harbaugh coach team. It was not there at all Sunday, and that's what really made it extremely alarming to me.
This is, I said it before, I'll say it again, this is the last 3 weeks, it's the worst defense I've ever seen, and I'm not being hyperbolic. The other team can do whatever the hell they want offensively. Like, you want to run the ball? Go ahead. You want to pass to your back? Go ahead. Tight ends? Okay. Wide receivers? And meanwhile, the quarterback has all day to throw. It is a perfect storm of crap defensively. And they can say we're on the way to fixing it, but you can cook me a minute steak and tell me it's filet mignon. It ain't filet mignon. And I don't know, like, the Jimmies and the Joes there doesn't seem to be that dude that's around the corner from that's coming back that's going to wreck a football game.
Let's just even just look at some of the things that aren't on the field. Like, even just the tone of Harb's voice the last 2 days. Like, does it sound like someone who's fighting and clawing to get his team back refocused? And like, or does it sound a little meek? Does it sound a little worn out? Like he's saying words that even he doesn't believe. Like, I know some guys are hurt and whatever.
I was really disappointed in that.
Yeah. Where are the, like, you know, we already know guys like Roquan running from the media. Like, what does that say about them? Kyle Hamilton, you know, and God bless the kid, but like having the, like amid all of the poor play going on, having to like apologize for the fans for calling them spoiled. Like it just, like none of this is on point. Like
no.
They can't even get that stuff right. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just not buying anything they're selling. And I don't think they're buying it.
And doesn't it go back to the clip that we played time and time again? Harbaugh not liking the Super Bowl or bust.
He could not acknowledge.
And that was the
beginning of camp. He could not acknowledge. That's why we played the hell out of it. Because that to me was an ominous sign. That we were already in loser talk excuse making mode. To me. It's how I read it. And it seems to have been borne out that way. To now we're back to mealy mouth, meekly, kind of hiding behind injuries and trying to make you believe that things really aren't egregiously bad. But I meaning him, can't even get work. I can't even get up worked up enough to like. Lord knows he ain't above picking fights with people and yelling at people. Like he sounds like he's washed over.
The injury excuse really bugged me yesterday though, because yes. Kyle Van Noy immediately followed John Harbaugh in the postgame presser.
It don't look. Everybody's got injuries. It don't look like this everywhere.
One of the first questions was about the injuries, and Kyle Van Noy shut down the questions. No excuses.
So the 49ers had their whole team's hurt, and they went out and beat the Rams in L.A. So I'll ask. We have a Monster Tuesday show. We're very busy today. 2:30, Morgan Atsit, Fox 45 Sports. She's the one who, her video of John Harbaugh getting booed walking off the field went viral. We'll talk to her about the Ravens at 2:30. Oriole Hall of Famer, part of our BBT crew, Mike Bordick. We'll talk playoffs and Orioles and will they have a manager at some point soon? We'll talk to Bordy at 3 o'clock. Aaron Schatz, the inventor of DVOA. The Ravens were the DVOA darlings a couple years ago.
Boy.
What does his algorithm think of this Ravens team? We'll talk to him at 4 o'clock. And former Oriole exec, now with MLB Network Radio, Jim Duquette. What's he think of everything Oriole-wise? And talk some MLB playoffs with him at 5.
It's interesting. For a team that needs a manager, we would think and hope and pray a new coaching staff and has a general manager opening. You're hearing teams hiring people. You're hearing teams letting people out of their contracts. You're hearing people submitting slips to interview people. You don't hear tight ship or not. Boy, is that silence deafening.
Fired a trainer.
Yeah, through LinkedIn, through him announcing it on his LinkedIn. we'll get Jim Duquette's opinion of that. And it's going to be interesting. We're going to go back and listen to some Mike Elias from when he finally addressed firing his skipper 5 days later in Milwaukee. Knowing what we know now about Mike Elias's job status and the extension he already got and the promotion he already got and the more power he already got. How are those words from Miami going to, or from Milwaukee going to play back now?
But coming up next, if things continue to go sideways, we think it's likely that John Harbaugh will be looking for work this offseason. When we come back, Jason Lockenfour has something to say about who should or maybe shouldn't be hiring that next head coach. That's next here on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ravens currently sit at 1-4. They are 7.5-point dogs Sunday against the Rams. It's the biggest home spread since the last time they played the Rams at home. It was exactly 7.5 points. They did lose that game 20-19. That was back when the Ravens used to fight for their coach. We just talked in the last segment about whether that's still there. Alas, if this thing continues to go sideways, we have a feeling that John Harbaugh may take the brunt of this. And with that, Jason Lockenfor has something to say about who should be hiring the next head coach.
But wait, Ben, can we go from the Dead Boys to the Misfits, please? So look, I still remain less than convinced that even a complete free fall is going to get Silent Steve off his boat and onto a plane to fly across the country to interview head coaching candidates. I'm just not sure that that's where he's going to be in all of this, and that's all that's ultimately going to matter. And given where he is in his stewardship of this franchise and the fact that he's made it very clear the last time he talked to the core four, however many years ago that was, that it's not staying in his family, and yeah, he's going to sell it, and when he's had his fun with it, it's gone. I just wonder the confluence of all those events, if it really does put Harbs on the clock the way I said I would have put him on the clock after week one, or the way a lot of fans would put him on the clock now. But I just think we need to, on this show, continue to be forthright about all the various areas of failure and blame. And I think it would be a real mistake, they've made plenty of mistakes, even by their standards, a horrendous mistake to fire John Harbaugh, who has won a Super Bowl in the capacity that he's in now, mm-hmm. who has been a part of a lot of winning, and who you guys can point to, and you have over the last 2 days, all the times where his teams rose above. And, you know, what he did winning games on the road in the playoffs under man and COVID and all that, even though he should have fired the damn trainer right then and there when the league suspended him during COVID. Whatever. He's hardly beyond reproach. And if you want to run him out, I get it. But to then say that let's reward the boy wonder GM who's got no rings doing his job, who was able to hide behind Ozzie, take credit for what he wanted, pretend he had nothing to do with what didn't work for years, who was gifted this position by the owner because he was so afraid to lose him somewhere else. And he's now been on this job for quite some time. And there's a lot of blind spots in how he builds rosters and what he believes in and what works and what doesn't. And he hasn't been forced to fire anybody over there, but Harbs has fired plenty of coordinators. I just think it would be a cataclysmic error to over empower a GM who I think should be gone if or when Harbaugh's gone, and then make him the pivotal person in hiring the next head coach. Because again, where Steve is, I don't know that Steve is going to be as driven as in this. Whoever Steve hires, does he really think he's going to spend 5 years with that guy? Does he even think he's going to spend 3 years with that guy? I just think this is set up right now in a fugazi way. Your team president's the worst GM in NFL history. Fact. Your owner is not around like he used to be and has said he's going to sell the team. He ain't in it for that long. Fact. And if he keeps the GM, and the GM, who is an expert politician, who plays the media like a fiddle, who's played his billionaire overlord like a fiddle, if you allow him to spearhead this, he is going to get someone who he perceives to be a pushover, who will have none of the voice and resume and acumen and muscles built up over years of doing this that Harbaugh has. The lack of checks and balances. I would be scared to death as someone who has a PSL or invest their time and money in this franchise as to where that Keystone Cop search would go, given where the owner is in his tenure, given who the team president is, and given who that GM is. If you're going to fire Harbaugh, I would strongly suggest, and you should listen to me, you reboot the whole damn thing.
I just want to point out, I just asked AI who the worst GM in NFL history is. It did not list Brown as one. It listed five. Listed Matt Millen, Ryan Grigson.
Matt Millen was bad.
The core four. Matt
Ryan
Millen,
Grigson was definitely
Ryan Grigson,
better than
Trent
Sashi
Baalke,
Brown.
And Vinny Serrato. Those are the four it mentioned.
Matt Millen was really bad.
Matt Millen was bad.
Matt Millen was really bad.
And he, look, he kept
that job a long time.
He had a winless season, right? He and Sashi. So, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Just what that's what AI says.
Can you ask follow-up questions? Is Sashi Brown fifth? Where does Sashi fits in all this?
I don't think AI answers those kind
of
questions.
You might have made a mistake.
Well, can do some follow-ups. Yeah.
Where would you put Sashi?
He did not make the list,
there
though.
There can saying. Responses, yeah. though, for yeah. Google
yeah.
AI.
Yeah. It's
you too. You want DaCosta with some first-time startup head coach?
Let me. I would be stunned if Eric DaCosta was fired.
So I'll take it a step further. I don't put it at cataclysmic. Like, I think he had a horrible offseason, but I think he's also had a lot of success, and they've won playoff games. And I'm not there yet with that. I get the firing John part of it. But I feel like this is a team that went to an AFC title game 2 years ago, that if Mark Andrews can hold on to a football last year, they're back in the AFC title game. I'm not there yet on Eric.
It's also a defense, though, that gets no sacks and no turnovers.
Oh, he had a horrible.
And that's him. No, but that's not just this year. Yeah, but that's the whole Lamar tenure.
And he needs to change his philosophy with that. There's no question. We've been saying that.
And you
think
with a pushover MOOC head coach, that's when he's going to make the change?
Well, but I'm not going to assume it's a pushover MOOC head coach. I think they'll hire a good head coach.
Really?
I do. Okay. I don't think it's the same thing as the Orioles, Jason, but that's my opinion.
And I agree with that. Like, this is going to be a very if going down this rabbit hole, they do get rid of John. This is going to be an extremely attractive
job.
You don't think this guy would use
this as an opportunity to get even more power, to have the analytics and the quants even more empowered, and that he would specifically be trying to steer this to someone who isn't going to have years of doing this before all that to fall back on.
Jason, if we go down that rabbit hole and he does that, then Eric's going to get fired. Because, like,
yeah, but then he's going to waste more years of Lamar and more people's time and more people's money before he gets fired.
But you get rid of the head coach, then the GM's next, because he's on notice at this point.
I'm not going to say you don't have the right to feel that way, but I don't. As I sit here right now, I don't believe
it. That would be shame on Eric, but also everybody in the org. This would be an extremely attractive job because you have Lamar freaking Jackson as your quarterback. Like, who would not want this job?
That's not the idea.
I know what you're saying.
Who would he want to have the job?
We'll continue this conversation, but coming up next, Morgan Atsit. She, her video went viral.
Just remember, I'm usually 2+ years ahead of the curve.
So, yeah.
Just bank that one, Beltway Ben. Yeah. When this guy's 0-5, bank it.
Morgan Atsit, Fox 45 Sports, joins us next here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ravens lose to the Texans 44-10 on Sunday. It is human nature to feel down about the Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, and real quick, Bone AI'd it, and then Sasi Brown was right there with Matt Millen as the worst GMs in NFL history.
Yeah, he's there.
So there you go.
I did two AI searches.
I like Bones AI more than your AI.
Yeah, you do. But let's go out to Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline, where Morgan Atsett from Fox 45 Sports, her video of John Harbaugh walking off the field went viral yesterday. And Morgan, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. So you saw firsthand the way the fans that were still there felt about this football team Sunday. CJ Gardner-Johnson was signed today, so they'll have a new player when they hit the field tomorrow. But can they fix it?
Oh boy, right? Can they fix it? Yes, I think they can, because I don't think it's going to be fixed where we're Super Bowl contenders, the high hopes everybody had before the season started. But you can get healthier, and you can rip off, realistically speaking, six straight wins after the bye. Is that hard to do in the NFL, even when you're playing well? Of course. But the strength of schedule can work in the Ravens' favors. But in order for that to happen, you mentioned the signing to practice squad, which these are always funny, too. You lose a linebacker last week on a practice squad deal.
It's
like, just start signing these guys and figuring out later if you feel like you need the talent. I do like this move. I don't think it's practice squad for long.
No.
And I think it allows Kyle Hamilton to come up and move around, which will immediately change that defense and make it better. But the defensive line is unhealthy, and you're not getting Nnamdi Manabike back. The middle of the defense is a nightmare. And everything just in front, they're getting beat so bad on defense, but it's not these blown secondary coverages of bombs downfield where guys are just pointing at each other like, well, who gave up that 30-yard pass? Who gave up that 50-yard pass? It's everything in front of them, which is so head-scratching from a physicality, technique, tackling standpoint. And I am more of a sympathizer with the injuries, especially for Sunday's game. But that, to me, is just like, what is going on? So you need to make immediate changes and impact now for this Rams game, even if Lamar Jackson doesn't play. Make the changes now that you need to make on defense. Make them on offense with your offensive line. I want to see one new starting guard, if not two. I don't know if it'll happen, but it needs to happen. And I think that will help at some way just breathe new life and maybe some new talent or just new chances to get more physical at the line of scrimmage, because that is their biggest problem right now this season. They are getting beat in the trenches. And the fact that you can't run the football with Derrick Henry, you can't get any penetration. He doesn't even have time to get on the outside like he had to do last year and run a lot. Behind the tackles, behind Pat Ricard, we can talk about him later, missing him is huge. But it is shooting all up through the A-gap and smothering them offensively, that they can't find a rhythm and can't get going with or without Lamar Jackson. I thought we would see a little bit more on Sunday. But if you can't run the football, if you can't win the battle at the line of scrimmage, offensive and defensively, I don't know where this goes. But you can get healthier, strength of schedule, and you can tweak as much as you can. And I think they need to do that immediately. If they don't, then they're blind. Then we don't even know what we're doing. And I don't think that's the Ravens' way, and it certainly isn't under John Harbaugh.
Well, Morgan, I do want to get back to the video that you posted of John Harbaugh, and it was just watching it. I'm like, oh, man, it was very uncomfortable, I'll say. Just your reaction to that, and also, is John's seat getting warm?
It's painful in the fact that you're at home, you have a ton of injuries, and that's your product that immediately happens on the field. The offense, the first series, was like, all right, well, I mean, they're moving the ball. If they can keep this going, okay, great. Well, that completely disappeared and imploded with Cooper Rush with three interceptions. I know they're not all on him, but one was pretty bad, and you couldn't run the football. That spirals. But defensively, could not make a stop and made the Texans look really good, and the Texans are not good this year. And they're certainly not good on offense. So hard to watch in the fact that it's at home and that's the product that seemed uninspired. A huge drop-off and lack of talent. So you have depth question marks now. Just didn't seem ready and didn't seem to schematically be ready, that if you are in that big of a hole, then get crafty. Get a little creative. Get a little wacky. You might have to get a little tricksy, so to speak, just to kind of cheat your way to get momentum, to get things working until you can have everybody back and have your offense. Because the Ravens' offense is still one of the best offenses in the league when healthy, when lift Lamar, and the number one in scoring offense when you have all those things. The fans booing Harbaugh coming off the field, I'm not surprised that it went viral just because, I mean, every day I can be like, the sky's blue, it's a beautiful day, and people be like, oh yeah, well, fire Harbaugh. And I'm like, whoa, dude, I wasn't even talking football in that tweet. So I get those every day, and we've heard those every season. But that just performance, when things are already starting to spiral, was kind of just like, whoa. I mean, too bad it's not the bye week now. You still got to face the Rams, and that's going to be a tough outing. But booing is no big deal. The fans that were still there were pretty active. They were pretty aggressive about their boos. So it is hard to see in a way, but it's also the league, too. Like, let's not forget, that's a Hall of Fame coach that got you a Super Bowl, and all he's done is win since he's here. And I think people quickly forget that and just want to blame one person when there's plenty of blame to go around with what is happening right now with this team.
Let's spread it around. This looks like a tough assignment here with Stafford and Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams and Kyron Williams and a pretty solid offensive line coming to town. And then they've got a bye week. Zach Orr has seemingly been under fire since he took the job. And we know that this team, during bye weeks and at midseason, has made some pretty seismic shifts in personnel, both player and coaching, before. Do you think he's the first person who's sort of made to wear this if this week goes as last week did?
I do. I love Zach Orr as a person. I mean, as a player, covering him was great. What a story.
Yeah.
And do I think he knows what he's doing? Absolutely. But for some reason, it's not working right now. And when you think of the moves that need to be made, the big moves, this is probably the ace up the sleeve that John Harbaugh has right now to try to do something. And you also have Chuck Pagano right there within your organization. So it's not like you don't have someone that can't lead this defense. I think that would be the biggest first move to be made, minus little tweaks of rosters here and there. Like I said, maybe we'll see a new starting guard. Maybe Jake Hummel and Trenton Simpson get more look at inside linebacker. Maybe your signing of the safety in the practice squad moves Kyle Hamilton up. You'll have those little moves. But until Eric DaCosta makes a cosmic trade that changes your defense, which he has done twice with Marcus Peters and with Roquan Smith, you can get one guy in and change your defense. I think those are the two biggest moves of, you could fire defensive coordinator Zach Orr, and you could make a trade to change your defense or at least give it some life. And those are things that probably need to be happening very soon.
Morgan Adsit, Fox 45 Sports, where you can find her. Morgan, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Coming up next, we get to that run game that Morgan was talking about a few minutes ago, and Derrick Henry. And it's, based on what we've seen over the last few weeks, is it possible that Derrick Henry, that athletic mortality hits everyone? Is Derrick Henry cooked? We'll discuss next here on The Fan.
I mean, anytime it's a loss, especially a loss like that, I mean, you look at guys, and we all evaluate one another just like the coaches do. And if somebody needs to step up and say something, we'll all do that. But it's just tough right now for us. But like I said, I know every guy in this locker room still believe in one another. We just gotta go do it. We practice hard throughout the week, like he said, and just gotta translate to the game.
That's Derrick Henry after Sunday's 44-10 loss to the Texans, a game in which he had 15 carries for 33 yards and a touchdown. This is not the Derrick Henry of a year ago, which, remember, got up to a slow start, and then it was just boom.
It
shot out of a cannon. He's got 317 yards and four touchdowns in five games. So begs the question, is this Derrick Henry athletic mortality starting to show?
I think there's a little bit of that, but I think the larger reality is this isn't last year's offense. I doubt this is, even when Ricard comes back. I mean, what's that going to look like? How long till he gets? I mean, this is a pretty significant injury now. The offensive line has issues. If Ronnie Stanley's not Ronnie Stanley, this whole thing up front is a joke. So it's not going to be last year. It's not going to be that perfect scenario, that magic carpet ride. And so if people are able to sell out to stop the run and blow things up in the backfield, this guy going on age 32, 3,000 yards into his 3,000 carries into his career is not going to do much. Here's the reality. He has gone four straight games without rushing for more than 50 yards. He's played 141 regular season games in his career. Only once prior in those 141 games has he gone four straight without rushing over 50 yards. It was the first four games of his career when he was getting 7 and 8 carries.
Yeah, he was a backup running back.
So that's where we are. I don't think force feeding him on first down is going to do him or the offense any good. And I think they're going to have to come to the – and I think they came to this realization because they tried it this way in Kansas City. I think they're going to have to mix up their personnel on early downs. I think they're going to have to get Keaton Mitchell and Justice Hill involved in the screen game in early downs to start sustaining drives, to force teams to move their personnel around a little bit. And then if they're able to build up early leads when they get their starting quarterback back, and you want to try to bleed the clock with Derrick Henry then, and especially if when you get Ricard back on the other side of a bye, maybe. But I don't think we're going to hear John Harbaugh again this year talk about more Derrick Henry. Because I that was the chant. That was it. That's a team you just emasculated in their building on Christmas Day, kicking it old school. Running with six offensive linemen, running with a fullback. And they do have, it's not Pat Ricard, but they do have a big body out there to try to fill that role.
Yeah, but he ain't Pat
and
Ricard.
It went in reverse. 16 attempted touches for 33 yards to the running back. And for those who say he doesn't see it enough, he's seen the ball 53% of the time on first down, and he's 113th in the NFL on first down rushing EPA. So I don't know about you two, but I think his role needs to be adjusted.
Well, if we're just looking at this Sunday, Lamar's not going to play. You're going up against a good Rams team, and I think they're 11th in rush defense. Like, it kind of is what it is this week. It's going to be much like it was against the Texans, where you're just running into a brick wall and Derrick Henry's getting hit into the backfield. But after the bye week, Bears, Dolphins, Vikings, they're three of the worst run defenses in football. Like, that has to be the time where you can get him going, get him right.
The Chiefs aren't a good run defense. If you sell out,
the Bears and the Dolphins are the two worst in football.
I get it, but like,
I'm assuming Lamar Jackson's going to be back at that point with the Bears, and then that hopefully opens things up a little bit more. But in terms of this Sunday, whether it's Cooper Rush or Snoop Huntley, Sean McVay and the Rams aren't stupid. Just load the box and make the opposing quarterback.
That's what the Texans did. Derrick Henry had 0 yards before contact on Sunday. I'm not telling you he's not washed because he is his age and he's got the carries he's got, but the personnel sucks. Like Zaire Mitchell-Payton's missed. He ain't Pat Ricard. These guards are terrible. Roger Rosengarten's regressed. Joseph Noteboom is like it's a personnel issue, and it makes it so it's impossible for Derrick Henry to get anything done. To what Morgan said, and when she was on with us a few moments ago, I'm hoping Corey Bullock's at one of the guards come Sunday. And when Emory Jones is ready, he should be at the other guard because these guys aren't getting it done. Now, I'm not going to tell you that's going to fix it, but they need to make changes to this offensive line. But, yeah, they got no chance with the way they're set up right now.
Well, John at least addressed that possibility yesterday, saying that there could be changes along the starting offensive line. But just
I got
seeing
news for you. That's barely lipstick on a pig.
Well, that and the fact that I don't think Ronnie's going to play again this week with the bye week looming. He couldn't even really put any weight on his
shouldn't
ankle.
Have against
Can-
yeah, shouldn't have played the week before.
So it's going to be no boom.
You're going to have to start looking long term. Like we always said, the next ankle thing with Ronnie could be the last ankle thing with Ronnie. He wrote a whole, what did he write? 3,000 words in the Players Tribune about. So like, I think you better start thinking like, short term and long term is probably the best of Ronnie's behind you. That's why you were able to take one more bite at that apple as cheap as you were able to take.
He didn't want to go out on the market because he didn't want other
teams. There was no market.
Yeah, he just didn't.
If you have a market and you're a left tackle, look at the state offensive line in this league. But if there was a market, he's not coming back here like he came back here.
We talked about it in real time, though. He didn't want the other teams looking at his medicals.
Well, I mean, he'd be a medical reject for a lot of teams.
Yeah, that's where we were.
And they're back up to a medical reject was somebody else's fringy guard who, well, let's just play a tackle.
He's played some tackle. Not good, but he's played there.
He's more of a journeyman guy.
Yeah.
But like that, we're all old enough to remember, oh, let's just wait and get Villanueva. And, oh, he's never played on the left side. Let's just play him on the left side. Like, I mean, I'm just saying, that's what you guys, we got in about DaCosta. Like, you can try to be cavalier and act like there haven't been, like, in real time, what the hell are these fools thinking? And then it happens. And then it happens, and then it happens. Like, yeah. What? Judon should have never left the building over a couple of million. Like, you can trace it all the way back. They created their own problems by thinking they're so damn smart, and then they keep chasing them.
I hear you, but
and they keep doing it their way.
Until this year, they've still been a very good franchise.
How much, but again, how much do you think that was the coach? How much do you think that was the coach getting people to play above their heads and creating a culture that it's there till it's not and everybody gets tuned out eventually?
That's a fair opinion, but I don't know if it can be quantified.
I know what can be quantified. Postseason sacks, postseason turnovers.
Yeah, they don't get
postseason,
them.
Postseason play, big plays made by their defensive players.
It hasn't happened.
Sacks per snap played by Eric DaCosta. Trade targets for a pass rush and draft picks for pass rush. I might have to do that study. It'll make you want to throw up on your sunglasses at night.
Coming up next.
Victory lap press releases about Ngakoue.
That was a fun one. Mike Bordick, you want to throw up in your lap? Are they going to hire Tony Manziolino as their full-time manager? We'll ask Oriole Hall of Famer, part of our BBT crew, about the Orioles and their offseason next here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.